Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
What's going on, man? This is E-Dub, and we are back with the Who Got Next podcast. We are back with a brand new episode. I got my homie in here, man. He's one of my OGs out here in Charlotte, man. We got D. Hines. What's going on, man?
Hey, E. Homie and frat, right?
Yeah, and frat, man. That's my frat brother over here, man. You know, we out here running the streets in the A5A world. Appreciate you sitting down with me. Of course, I've been knowing you for a while. We've actually done some things together, but you have been here for a while. And you are the owner of Velocity Sneaker Boutique. Probably not Sneaker Boutique no more, it's just Velocity, right?
Velocity and then Velocity Denim.
Velocity Denim. Okay, so you have two, and we're going to talk about that, but you did start out with Velocity. You did start out with Velocity that's running very well. It is a clothing apparel store that you actually could find in the university area that specializes in, you know, outfitting any and everybody in Charlotte, I would like to say.
Yeah, we definitely like to keep Charlotte fly.
Bet. So let's talk about like where you guys started from. Let's kind of backtrack. So I met you, it's probably been like, I'm gonna say about 8-9 years.
It was just getting started.
Yeah, you was just getting started with Velocity, and I think somebody had, I'm not sure who it was. I don't know if it was Dex or whoever.
It was either Dex or Lex.
It was one of them. Say, yo, man, when you get a chance, stop. There's a store here called Velocity that's in the university area over there by Billy Boardwalks. It just so happened you was frat too. So that's how we actually, I wanted to make sure that I stopped over there just to give my greetings and salutations to a frat brother. And long story short, frat brother actually turned into a good friend.
Right. So that was definitely, I remember the Durenbecker 3s. I remember they had just came out and I had a pair.
Right.
So I'm going to say that was 2010.
Right. That was a while, because that was before, that was right, that was in the, backstory, that's probably the infancy stages of the freshman.
Right.
When it was just an idea.
Yeah, because we did the photo shoot at
the
shop.
That was our first photo shoot that we did. We actually did it where it started, where I think where the conversations actually started. So we were saying, look, why just not go back into Velocity and do it? Actually, it was a real dope photo shoot, so we do appreciate you for that. And everything just picked up from there. Our first sneaker show that we did, you actually assisted with that with us at the First World Rec Center, and right. From there on, we just all developed a friendship. And so, but I would love to talk about your business being a clothing store in Charlotte. Number one, number two, being, I guess it's safe to say, probably one of the, you know, you are one of the consistent African American business owners in Charlotte. It's a daunting task, and right. Not everybody survives that. Right. So what made you decide to say, I want to do this in particular?
Well, it was funny because when I moved to Charlotte in 2007, you know, I was what I call, I had a real job.
Right. You was corporate America.
Yeah, I was corporate America. I was doing corporate finance. Mm-hmm. And then when the recession actually hit in big banking before it started, you know, hindering residential.
Right.
Started affecting mainstream America.
Correct.
I had just moved to Charlotte. So I just knew a few fraternity brothers, a few neighbors. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the backdrop was, well, you know, where y'all go to shop? Because I've been to the malls.
Like, right. Like,
you know, that ain't cutting it for me.
Correct.
You know, coming from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so people would say, you know, because again, Charlotte is a city that a lot of people are migrating from.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I would go back home to New York, or I go to Atlanta. I'm like, y'all go all the way back there to shop, you know. So that was just a little thought. It wasn't like an idea was birthing. I was
right.
Like, man, I guess when I go home, I'll shop.
Right.
So when I got laid off in early 08, I'm like, what do I do? Because mm-hmm. of course, the part of me said, do I go back home? But I got my kids settled here.
Just got here.
And so I was like, man, what I'm going to do? I prayed about it. And because it was a unique situation, because I just bought a house in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Mortgage was $3,100. I had a house in Maryland because the housing crisis was setting in.
Mm-hmm.
Mortgage $2,900.
Oh, wow.
No income.
Oh, wow.
And then the house we listed for almost $700,000,
mm-hmm.
a year and some months later, ended up selling it for $500,000.
Right.
So this is all happening. In the meantime, you know, God whispers to me, you know, sneaker shopping. I'm like, that's weird. I just finished my master's at Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I had 15 years of commercial banking.
Mm-hmm.
Just finished a master's. But God's telling me, you know, and I've never even worked in a retail store before.
Right.
I never worked in a Foot Locker, never worked in a mm-hmm. Finish Line. But I've been a great customer.
Correct.
Now,
correct.
Knew how to buy some kicks.
Right.
You know. And so all of a sudden I put my commercial lending background into, okay, well, how do you write a business plan? Well, I looked at many of them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do a personal financial statement? I looked at many of them. How do you do projections? And I sat down in one night and just put it all together, filed articles of incorporation. That was 2008. And then I started going to different shops around the country.
Right.
So I visited a few that were here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I went to several that were in Atlanta.
Right.
Went to Burn Rubber in Detroit. Commonwealth in Georgetown at the time,
mm-hmm.
Several in New York City. I literally became a student of this.
Right.
And so over several months, you know, I just took, and I took a piece of every place I visited
mm-hmm.
and created Velocity.
Velocity.
What was interesting in 2009 when we opened was that we were too far ahead of Charlotte.
I can say that.
because... You know, now it's commonplace. Every city has multiple buy, trade, and sell. But we never did the trade.
Nobody had here.
Yeah, we never did the buy or the trade. We just did the sell. But we were the first ones in Charlotte that had a wall full of a variety of sneakers.
Correct.
Flyness at that. It mm-hmm. wasn't just, you know, some jump man.
Right. Y'all actually went in and actually got the intel to get the right stuff in Charlotte.
Right, the right stuff from my perspective.
Correct.
And, you know, we catered to, you know, it was a niche. Like, we knew it was a niche.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a matter of, okay, well, I didn't think it was going to be a microscopic mm-hmm. niche. You know, I thought it was going to cater to Charlotte at large.
And correct.
And I know the Shoe Man was winning. At the time, the Shoe Man was.
Right. I was engulfed into Foot Locker at the time, working there part-time, but worked there for years. And they were taking over because they were customers was coming in asking for, like, yo, y'all have them on what was popular? The Air Max. It was Air Max Jordan, of course. Mm-hmm. the Air Max with the air bubble. It was the Flint 13s Air Max.
Right.
That was probably one of the more popular ones at that time. And and he was killing. Whoever the Shoe Man was killing.
Right. and so that's was bananas to me because where I'm from, you only bought fake shoes if you couldn't afford
a shoe. And there was a lot of people in Charlotte that actually could afford them but was buying them in.
They had jobs, but
correct.
They wanted that because it was exclusive.
Right. Not knowing that it just wasn't real.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, huh? I'm like, yo, I got this fly, you know, Adidas Gazelle.
Right.
You know, I got, you know, we were, I think it was 2009. We were one of 12 accounts in the country that Reebok did the question.
The question, right.
I couldn't give that shoe away. We had both colorways. We had the all black, and then we had the white with the red toe.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say 18 pairs each colorway. One of 12 accounts.
And you couldn't.
I couldn't get that shoe. We had the D Brown pump,
mm-hmm.
the black version that he did the blindfold, the covers eye dunk, and the white version.
Right.
And then we also had the original pump, which was a high top.
Correct.
Couldn't give them away.
That's crazy.
Couldn't give them away. And so I'm sitting there like, what did I do? You know.
You learn real quick. Okay, something got it. Some either is wrong or you're missing something.
Yeah. What did I do? And, like, I thought Charlotte was a big city. You mm-hmm. know, geographically it is. Physically
correct,
it is.
Yes.
But its attitude at the time.
Right.
You know, about this part mm-hmm. wasn't. And so I had to figure it out because I had put everything I had into this.
Correct.
I'm out of options.
Right.
So about a year, you know, year and a half, I met Chris Alexander, Shirt Game.
Mm-hmm.
He came in wearing his... Yo, I do custom shirts.
Right.
You know, and he offered me, you know, the opportunity to say, you know, if I had a unique shoe colorway that he would custom make, you know, a shirt to go with it. You know, he had a little booklet that had, you know, 10 or 12 designs on it. I would text him, like, Chris, I need orange and royal blue in this one. You know, I even had a few ideas. Yo, dude, we'll work for kicks. You know,
right.
Is one of my
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll work for kicks. you know, so we did that, and that was my entrance into apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I'm not an everyday shop, so... And I'm a little older, so I didn't know really
what people were wearing.
Because I wasn't going to do the Coogi that I was...
Don't feel bad. I didn't know what had them kids was wearing either at my age. And I'm 38 now. But then I didn't know what they were wearing.
Yeah. I wasn't doing the Coogi because I missed a memo on that. Y'all wearing Coogi down here? What's up with
right.
You know, that ain't the Coogi I know.
That was the hood. The hood was wearing that.
You know, I'm the sweater, you know, not the jeans. So that was our little entrance into... apparel, which I didn't know that's where we needed to go.
Correct.
I didn't realize at the time. To me, that was just a value-added thing that made us different. But that was the entrance into our evolution that slowly took into, okay, I'll get some apparel brands. And, you know, we did that. And so it was 2010, 2011. The skate thing was in Supras, Creative Rec,
SBs.
You know, yeah, SBs. That was
Supreme.
That was what was happening at the time, and those were counts because they were hot. They were hard to get. So I just had to rock with what I had.
Right.
And so, 2000. You know, I remember the Olympics. That was when we broke through. So that was our third year in business, 2012. And that was our breakthrough because we had all the Nike Olympic stuff, the Jordan 6 and the 7 retro in Olympic colorways, the T-shirt. You know, we had the whole gamut. And then that's where we broke and kind of found our place.
Right.
You know, we found the right customer. And then from that on, we just kept evolving and growing. And then a year, earlier this year, 2019, I knew I wanted a second location, but I thought it would be Velocity, you know, just full service. And one of my account reps came in and said, man, you're a jeans shop. Because we had all the top brand premium jeans.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right. And I just...
Never thought about it.
Didn't think nothing of it. Because my passion is still the footwear.
Correct.
And I said, you're right. And so I mentioned it to a customer the next day. Rep was here and said, we're a jeans shop. I said, man, you know what you need to do? You need to go to Concord Mills. I'm like, nah, I'll never do that.
Right.
I'll never do that. I never go to Concord Mills.
Right. So you wasn't going in there really before that.
No, I wouldn't go. it was too much traffic. It didn't have anything
Understood.
For me.
Understood.
But then I sat on it, like, wait a minute, hold on, maybe that ain't a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became, well, I know the hoops and the hurdles I would have to deal with to be a full service in that mall because they don't sell the top tier Jordans in the mall.
Correct.
The retros. I said, well, I can't do that. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to be a jeans shop. You know, and then that's where Velocity Denim was birthed.
Now, looking on the outside as a consumer and being that it's, you know, that's a big spot. How difficult is it for a small business to get into Concord Mills?
Man, I think nothing's impossible, you know, when God is on your side. You know, that's what
Understood.
Got me. And because people would ask me this question, I'm like, I made a phone call. It really
is that simple.
For me, it was. And not because is because this was, in my mind, ordained. This was where I was supposed to go. I literally made a phone call. A day or two later, you know, the representative called me back. Immediately had two locations for me.
Ready to go.
Right, you know, like literally, with a third one pending, you know, so all of a sudden I got options, like, where you want to sign? And I'm like, whoa, wait. I thought it was going to be some chase, some back and forth
to get in there.
And then the best part about it is that, you know, everything's negotiable, so when I got the lease, or at least when I got the letter of interest.
Interest, LOI.
You know, I pushed back on the rent, and they accepted it.
Right.
Like, what? whoa, man, I should ask for more. And that's yeah, you I should have went down low.
Right, exactly. And probably would have gave you anything.
Like, what when you trying to move, I'm like, wait.
Like, I wasn't expecting to go this fast. Yeah. Right.
Give me a minute. And, you know, so that was, man, I want to say that was May. That was late May.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, when you going? So when? By this time, I had to come up with a plan. I needed a architect. Right. I needed a plan. Because I didn't want to sign and then waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the short answer is not long. It wasn't hard at all. The long answer is, and I tell people all the time, when it comes to being in business for yourself at all, you got to be prepared. You know, I've referred to the three C's: character, capital, and credit. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be of good character when you're dealing with, you know, other people's stuff, other people's brands,
mm-hmm.
right? Other people's merchandise. You know, they got to believe in you. They got to trust you with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need capital because guess what? You know, you can't say, I want to start a business and you don't have any money.
Exactly.
Even if you're going to sell sweet potato pies out to
you got to have, you got to have some type of cash
to buy the sweet potatoes.
Right.
Right. And then credit, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to borrow. You know, other people's money is the best money in business. So,
rule of thumb, because a lot of people don't understand it. They think that, you know, just going there with your money is the best thing to do. No, it's not. It's not the best thing to do, depending on what you're trying to do. But there's going to come a time where you're going to realize, why am I using my own money?
Right.
When I can.
And you need more.
And you need more.
And you need more than what you.
Correct. You're going to need that working capital.
Because I started. You know, I don't mind disclosing this. I started Velocity with $150,000, my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say in a year and a half to 2 years, I was down to $2.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand it. Like, in my mind, my projections had me, of course, taking a modest L year one,
mm-hmm.
break even year two, modest profit year three, and then.
And the fourth year is supposed to be.
You're fourth year, I'm eating.
Right, correct.
2 years in, I was down to $2 with a store full of inventory.
That you had to try to move. Nice
presentation. You know, mm-hmm. people like.
Hey. It's a good location, number one. It is a great location. Not many people have a location like that where actually there's a lot of foot traffic. Velocity being in that area mm-hmm. is a great opportunity to get that foot traffic just with everything else going around there.
Yeah, we have the lake. We're right off of 85. Mm-hmm. The busiest intersection in Charlotte, W.T. Harris and North Tryon.
You had GameStop. You had a barbershop.
Right.
You had a lot. You had everything over there.
Banks, McDonald's. You know, at the time, there was a Walmart.
Correct.
Navy. You know, it was an awesome location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So for the life of me, I couldn't understand why I literally have $2 in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
but that was that literal turning point for everything.
Where everything started kicking in.
And it was just a matter of, and that's when it comes in that capital and credit, it's just a matter of having enough to get to that breakthrough point,
mm-hmm.
and then having that little bit in reserve.
Correct.
Because as it turns out, I had a little bit in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And just enough to get through into the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ain't looked back since.
And talk about that. Like, so I guess you talk. So talk about the advantages and disadvantages of doing that. And the reason why I want to ask that question, because I've talked to plenty of people that's came, you know, that comes up here. And I actually previously, by the time you hear this, it'll be out. But I actually talked to Eddie.
Okay.
Eddie Towner. And we talked. I always ask that question to people come in for business. And he touched on what people don't understand is the working capital side.
Yeah.
Is the working capital side of, you know, working capital side of things. And they don't think about that when they're opening up a business.
Right.
And I always press about us mm-hmm. in business and the lack of the visibility of it in Charlotte.
Right.
Some get out there and do it and I'll be honest with myself, I'm looking at certain models uh-huh. all the time.
Right.
And I'm actually sitting in my head saying, how long?
Right.
I'll be, how long? And I start actually, not to be funny, but I'm saying to myself, I can see this giving it. I give it a year.
Right.
I give it a year, give it 2 years, just based off of what I see up front.
Right.
The presentation's not good.
Right.
Just the layout atmosphere isn't good.
Right.
And how they just... customer service isn't great.
Yeah.
And then you don't actually see them out nowhere. So What is your take on that?
Well, everything you said is, I mean, I see the same thing.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, it was really finding the right product mix.
Correct.
So like I said, when we came in business, we were sneaker. Whoa, that mm-hmm. was unheard of. The only thing popping at the time was Fight Club.
That's correct.
And I don't even know if they had the L.A. location at the time, but I know they had the New York. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't popular because people weren't buying, trading, and selling sneakers. You had a sneaker, you owned it until you threw it away.
Correct.
Type of thing, or gave it to somebody less fortunate. So it wasn't a secondary market. It was budding, but we didn't even know that at the time. So for us, it was developing, okay, what's our product mix? Because people aren't buying sneakers every day from us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we need something else. So Chris Alexander comes in, we got Shirt Game, okay, cool. We got that little niche. And then we just kept adding to it. So in the meantime, time is money. And so that's what happened to the 150. It wasn't me being in Vegas.
Right.
It was, okay, rent.
You got to keep the lights on.
I got to keep the lights on. You know, we
were. Yet still pub your business.
Right. And still, you know, gas, electric, you name it. It's
correct.
The meter's still running. So when it comes to starting a business, you're right. You have to look at who's successful at it,
mm-hmm.
not who is doing it different than you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get to that part.
Correct.
But who's successful at it? And for me, being from Baltimore, DTLR started in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where they got their business model from, a spot mm-hmm. called Charlie Rudo's.
Correct.
So.
And that's a local.
It's gone now, but yeah, it was.
It was prominent in Baltimore.
Right. Oh yeah. Okay. Everybody. Charlie Rudo's Sports. Mondomin. So, you know, I looked at that again. I'm a great customer.
Right.
And so I had to figure out what to bring in for my market.
Mm-hmm.
So as we brought in the apparel, Diamond Supply was popping at the time. So mm-hmm. we got the Diamond Supply account. You know, a year or so later, Pink Dolphin. So we started to get the things that would attract.
Right.
We always knew that denim was it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what lane and what my market was willing to pay for. And so we're fortunate enough to get G-Star and Cult of Individuality and Embellish and PRPS. And all these brands that you see in Neiman's
right.
and Saks and Nordstrom, you know, are now sitting in a boutique in university.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, the working capital is what gives you time to figure stuff out and to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen businesses when they're not successful, it's not so much that you came with a bad idea. There almost aren't any bad ideas. It's that you didn't have enough capital to buy the time that you needed to execute.
Correct.
And so what we had was, and I keep saying we because everyone that's ever worked for me is a team member.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not a boss and they my
correct.
No, we what we had,
y'all work together to make things happen.
We, you know, which is something I think they appreciate as being part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person is trying to start a business, you know, whether they're doing sweet potato pies or a car wash business, mm-hmm. you have to sit back and say, okay, well, what is it gonna take until I connect?
Correct.
Until it catches. If you're washing cars, well, you're not going to wash too many cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to slow down in the fall and winter.
Correct.
You know, because you're moving slower. It's colder.
Exactly.
You know, versus summertime. So are you starting at the right time of the year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why start that business?
To sustain the slow months that you're not really making any income the way you think.
People revenue. Not moving around the way they would be in May and June.
Correct.
You know, and it's not as important to keep your whip clean.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall.
Exactly.
So you have to give these types of things. So when we opened Velocity and University, it was April 29th. So it was going into spring.
Mm-hmm.
But I had negotiated 4 months free rent. So my thing was, that's not a great time to open. But it's.
But you saved yourself
4 months to get back to school.
To find something. Right. Do something. Like, you'll figure it out.
I have 4 months
right.
that I have a rent check to write. To get to back to school mm-hmm. when I knew people would be shopping. Right. And so when we opened Velocity Denim, I opened August 1st, mm-hmm. right before back to school.
Right.
And that was intentional. So that my working capital could be put to use and go further a lot sooner.
Do you think negotiating is a pitfall for most businesses that's trying to start out?
I don't think people do their research. You know, and research can be, you know, not just the internet and Google, but mm-hmm. talking to someone that has experience. I mean, people ask me stuff all the time, but then I find out that they wanted to ask before they finally had the courage to ask.
All right. Do you find that intimidating? Or do you, I'm not going to say intimidated, do you think that others are scared because it may be something similar to what you're doing? And how do you receive that information and how you're willing to give that?
Bigger / deeper than that. I think people don't expect me to be a resource, you know, because they've not gotten a good response from other people or the perception.
Correct.
He ain't going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. He ain't gonna tell me. No, he gonna brush me off. Well, if you come at me crooked, yeah.
Right.
But if you come at me like it almost happens almost every day that, you know, hey, like it happened today, you know, I want to do this. Okay. You know, where are you? And I don't care that it.
Right.
Because I come from a place where Mondawmin Mall has 9 or 10 shoe stores, and it's probably one of the smallest square footage malls anywhere.
Right.
But it literally has 9 or 10 shoe stores in it. You know, so I come from that mentality, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're about something, be ready for a competitive, friendly, you know, battle.
Yeah, and I think that makes everything better. And you spoke on doing your research on some of the stores that was already around beforehand. Mm-hmm. And probably some of those stores that you know and I know, some of them not around.
Right. Right.
Either they're not in the same landscape, or they switched up their whole model entirely because they had to sustain with the times. So I know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to that. And I think also, regardless of saying, you're probably not the first and that's not a bad thing, but it's just because of what they knew before they got here. Right. So if you're coming outside of Charlotte, you're probably here the black sheep.
Right.
You hear about social status. Right. You hear about those places. Right. And sometimes, man,
Niche was open.
Niche. A lot of people don't know about Niche, but Niche, I was telling somebody about Niche, and I was down in the South End area. I said, you see this big building? I said, there was a place here called Niche.
Right. Black Sheep was, you know, right.
Yeah, this is, I missed the old South End is what I tell people. Yeah. But, you know where that goes. It goes with the time. But I think that's another part of it because they may go to those places.
Right.
And no telling who they speak to, and they may get intimidated by it, or maybe they just don't give the information. And I don't think that just happens here. It happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody says, you know what? No, I think you need to go speak. There's been plenty of times, not showing if they ever went in or not, but I refer people to Velocity all the time. I said, look, if you want a resource, if somebody you want to talk to, I said, go there.
Right.
They said, he'll talk, trust me. I said, he's willing to sit down and talk to you or just answer any type of question you have. I mean, he's willing to do that, and I wish other people would take advantage of that.
You know, my issue is not so much me giving information. My personal issue is people don't listen. You know, I find when people ask me questions, they really want to tell me what they want to tell me.
Right.
And me validate that, you know, versus how could I? Because if I tell you the 3 C's, and you're like, well, my credit jacked up, and I ain't got no money. I'm a good dude, though. Yeah, well, you got to go back to the drawing board. I wouldn't jump.
Yeah, that's not going to work for you.
You know, I'm telling you what I know.
Like, you know, you're going to crash and burn real quick.
You know, like, these big companies are multi-billion-dollar international companies.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, hey, bruh, you know, I want to do that. That ain't going to work. Because of my corporate experience, I understand that I have to present to them the benefit of working with me.
Correct.
Not just send me some Jordans.
Right.
That ain't going to work. They get that every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
Let me present to them, you know, what I've done to open my accounts is present to them who I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going, and how that can be aligned with who they are and the products that they have. And it works every time, you know. So, you know, when people come and ask me, I tell them everything I know. I find that they don't want to hear it.
They don't, that's not the answer. That's not the answer that they were looking for.
Yeah, they're like, oh, what? I got, yeah, but it took me a year to play in Velocity. I could have opened the next day, I'm sure. Find a space. But I remember the, I don't know how to make some selections. And the first place I found was off of Mallet Creek Church Road. And I called the realtor on the number on the poster, and he met me. And he says, nah, you don't want to be here. You know, this is not a shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
It was to me, from my definition of it.
Correct.
It was a parking lot and it was a building. He said, everybody's jumping in and out of their cars and running to Starbucks. Like, nobody's.
And that's good for him to tell you that because some people won't. They'll just say, if this is what you want, we're good, we'll put you here.
Right. This is what you want. You got the money. Write a check.
Right.
And who knows if I would have been able to sustain, because that wasn't the right place. And so I'm like, okay, well, with that new information, well, I knew about university shop, you know, shops at university place, let me go down there, you know? And, you know, Old Navy, Chico's, Talbot's, GameStop, you know what I mean? Okay, Ross and TJ Maxx on the other side. I mean, this is a shopping center, right?
Right.
And 10 and a half years later, you know,
still there.
We still here.
And just and talk about, so Concord Mills is your second location. And if you don't mind talking about it, but it wasn't your, it wasn't the first time.
No.
Because you've done
it. Expansion?
Because you had did it. I remember we had talked about it. I remember you was looking for it. I'm not saying it was me, but I think I had made mention to it. I said, you might want to look over there at the Camden area. Right. I said, I think there's some spots over there open. Right. There's some spots over there open.
I'll reach out to you where Blank Canvas used to be.
Yeah, there's some spots over there open. So how was that experience? That actually, how was that experience, and how did that help you to get to Concord?
Technically, it was a fail,
mm-hmm.
but it was a huge win
right.
because of what I learned from it. Not only was the space not adequate for who we were, because we would send, you know, people went there because by this time we got a brand and a reputation. So people went, and they're like, oh, man, I just checked out your other spot in South, and that was nice. And I'm like, well, why are you here? Oh, you got more stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, like I couldn't be who we were there.
Correct.
And I also didn't have the right team. You know, mm-hmm. so I'm thinking I'm just
put somebody there and be fine.
And it'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with that distance is, you know, Concord Mills stretches me. You
know, right. That was a couple.
That was 3 summers ago.
3 summers ago?
Yeah, that was 3 summers ago. So that was 16.
Do you think that could work? Do you think that area could work now? Being that a lot of things have been built up since then.
Yeah. I got my eye on South End. Definitely got my eye on South End. But, yeah, it could work. But, again, you have to understand
the market.
You know, and that's all I'm going to say on that. And so I have.
And that market is different.
Yeah, it is.
In that area.
It's different and it's better if you understand
it. If you understand it.
And so now we have two brands to choose from. We have Velocity, mm-hmm. and a flagship, and then we have Velocity Denim.
And you could get and the thing about it, like I think you was about to touch on that before, I think before I interjected, it's easy for you to get over there. Like it's just nothing but a hop, skip, and a jump. So if you need to get over there real quick for something, you can do that, right. Or somebody can get over there.
Right. Yeah. Somebody can be there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it's me. and I've known a few that people that have tried it.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. it just didn't quite work out. You know, so the recipe I think we have. I think it'll be one that'll make us successful there.
How important is it to you about building relationships within the community in the city? Personally, I think that's where I think some people fall flat.
Right.
Because they feel, when I'm talking on this show, I'm speaking specifically about us.
Right.
As African American consumers, we are the biggest consumer. We buy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We spend trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
But on these businesses, but I think a lot of times we don't spend that within our own conglomerate with our business. But how important is it to you about building relationships?
Well, I started building relationships before I knew that it was beneficial.
Right.
At any point in my life, when I look back, I still have relationships from the 70s and 80s.
Correct.
I'm telling my age a little bit. You know, so when it comes to where we are now and what I'm executing now, the relationships are a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
People have shopping options, you know, and especially now when everyone's walking around with a handheld computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their hands,
right.
literally to make a purchase, there's a lot of competition. So the relationship is actually what makes the difference.
Correct.
You know, the impression that we make at both locations mm-hmm. is essential, and I emphasize that, on every chance I get,
mm-hmm.
we need to make an impression because they have somewhere else to shop. They may not get the same brand.
Correct.
They may not.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't the only jeans being made.
This right.
The only sweatshirt being made. These aren't the only sneakers being made. So what is going to make them decide to shop with us?
Correct.
It has to be the relationship.
Right.
It has to be the connection that we mm-hmm. form with us. And then the thing is, I can think of dozens of people that when they come in Velocity, like, they don't leave.
Like, no, they don't, because I know I don't. Like, we're actually, it's just what we do. Like, man. Lou, Carrot, whoever, like, yo, what y'all got going on today?
I'm stopped by Velocity.
Yeah, say, yo, I'm about to be a Velocity. I said, you know what? I haven't been over there in a while, man. Let me go in there. And we would just be in there sitting for hours just talking.
Just talking.
It's like a barbershop in there, but just without the barber chairs. Yeah. But everybody goes in. So that is a place where you actually can network.
Right.
If yeah. Believe it or not.
There's so many people that know other people.
Yeah, it's always some six degrees of separation where it's like, oh, that's you.
Yeah, I think if people start saying, where do I know you from? Through Velocity.
Through Velocity. That's where it always happens. And I think for a lot of us in the with the sneaker shows and everybody say, yo, I met y'all at Velocity.
Yeah.
And they're like, y'all work there? Like, no.
No.
Nah, we just I'm just in here. I'm a customer just like you. Yeah. But I'm more of a loiter. But more of a loiter, but you know what I'm saying? But that's just where we like
to a point where I'm so familiar with certain people that I'll go in the back.
Right, because you know nothing's going. Hey, listen, I don't know how many times I've probably been in there at a cut. I've never seen this face before. I was like, hey, how you doing? Working at Velocity. I'm like, man, I don't work here. But but it's just what we do. Like, yo, you looking for something, man? Look over there. They got some stuff over there. It's just, that's just in our. It's
and
just
they're looking
innate.
Around like, who should I talk to? Because all of us look like.
Right, like, I'm like, hey, Niall over there. So go talk to Niall. But I think that's just real. I just think that's good. And my thing is just, you know, with just how Charlotte is going now and in 2019, moving into 2020, I just see bigger things for small businesses. But in your mind, what do you think the identity of Charlotte is right now?
Well, Charlotte is beginning to form an identity. You know, when I got here, like,
there wasn't
it just
one.
Wasn't one.
It was just purple. And I always tell people that when people think about identity, like when you go to a certain place, you think of Atlanta or Pittsburgh, you know, I say, well, you think of Pittsburgh, you think of it as a hardworking city, mm-hmm. blue collar,
right?
Black and yellow resonates with it.
Right.
Charlotte is purple and teal,
right?
But it's a color. It's nothing.
There's nothing behind it.
There's nothing behind it.
Years have gone since that purple and teal represented wins.
Correct. Yeah, you know, yeah. With that, and you know, we've been known for a banking industry for so long, and I mean, still that because a lot of headquarters is here, but. I love how people are starting to find their groove.
Yeah, I think in essence where Charlotte is now, if it has a reputation or tag, it's lifestyle. Charlotte is a place where you can have a comfortable lifestyle, socially, professionally,
mm-hmm.
financially, you know, from a family, so personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that ain't sexy. You know, that's not... It's not Atlanta,
right.
But it's not being governed to be in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It's being governed to be a lifestyle place where you live, work, play.
Correct.
And so that's why, as far as I can project, I don't think Charlotte will ever be in Atlanta. Now, it has the square footage,
you know,
square miles of it, has the highway mm-hmm. infrastructure set up, but the things aren't being introduced here for Charlotte to be like other major cities.
Correct. I don't think Charlotte needs to be Atlanta. I think Charlotte needs to be Charlotte. And whatever Charlotte is what it's going to be. And I just think with here, I think that a lot of creativity is here. You have a lot of creatives but that's a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit funny at times with that term because even as a creator, you still have to execute it.
Right.
You have to execute it. I think a lot of people fall victim or fall guilty. You fall guilty of that. So you still have to get to a point where, okay, is this idea going to be something that's going to build some type of revenue and some type of
Charlotte is so new. It's still new. It's still a 20-year-old city in terms of being on the map of big cities.
It's going through growing pains. And I think and people need to understand that Atlanta went through the same thing. I'm going to say the Olympics. I think the Olympics was the turning point of when people started paying attention to Atlanta.
Right.
Now you're looking 20 plus years now.
Right.
You're looking at what they was building up to. You know, I just think with us, with the African-American community, we're still a little jaded.
Mm-hmm.
We're still a little jaded because there are people around here, I think, that has a lot of old money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But they're not – what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not aware.
They're traditional.
They're traditional. They're not aware. They come from the Harvey Gantt era.
Right.
So they're not exactly sure about what's out. You know what's out there. They're accustomed to what they're accustomed to, but it's going to take small business. It's going to take more people coming in doing small businesses.
It's going to take people to have courage.
Yeah. Got to take a risk.
Courage, but you also have to have a plan. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have the vision. You have to courage put out there, but then a plan to kind of give make it some happen. Direction to make it happen.
Because the money's there. Like I think they're willing to give the money. They just they got to find you. You got to find them. But you have to have. Right. You just can't go in there and say, "Look, man, I got this idea."
Right.
Nah, it's not gonna work with them. Not if you're trying to get them six figures.
Because what I know, being in my position. I come across a lot of people with ideas on a regular basis.
Right.
Some of them, they want to have dialogue with me to see where they could go, and some of them, you know, don't. But it's a lot of ideas
right.
passing by. But then the courage and the plan to execute, that's what separates people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we get into the working capital and then some of the nuances of the execution.
Correct.
But Charlotte in general, I think right now it's a comfortable place for a comfortable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Has potential to be bigger from a cultural standpoint.
Correct.
You know, and I'm happy to be a part of it because I'm thinking like, wait a minute, like we're 10 and a half years, so we're coming up on 11 years. So in another year or so, somebody was starting school, you know, kindergarten, first grade.
Right, exactly.
And they've actually graduated.
Graduated now.
In the time that we've been here. You know, so of course I've remember people that were, you know, let's say 9th, 10th grade that are now parents, you know, that now are homeowners.
That still come around.
That still come around. Like, man, they getting old.
Right.
You know, but for me, where I'm very fortunate to be a part of where Charlotte is going, and I'm hopeful and expect that we'll be a part of it tomorrow as well. You know, being a part of the memory is cool, but I want to be a part of the legacy.
The legacy, exactly. Exactly, man. But D. Hines, man, I do appreciate you sitting down. I mean, it was a good conversation. I didn't want to do the question and answer section, but all the information that you provided to us was great. So let me just kind of end it with this. On my show, I asked the same question that I asked to everybody. My question to you is, what's next?
What's next is, in my mind, definitely a South End location second quarter of 2020. And then if it's God's will, then we're going to do our first location outside of North Carolina. It should be in Baltimore.
Hometown.
Yeah, I have to.
Have to.
Yeah, I have to. And that's going to be super special because that's going to be a challenge because that's where I'm from.
Right.
So the expectation is going to be super high. See, I had a lot of grace here because nobody knew me. So my mistakes weren't broadcasted.
Right.
When I go home and it's a fourth location and it's out of state, it has to be executed perfectly, which, you know, I expect it to be. But, yeah, that's what's next. And then, you know, just, you know, what Nala and Nandi, you know, kind of into their, you know, adult phase of life, you know, now it's just a part of just working to stay out of the way and enjoying the fruits that God has given me.
Hey, man, that's what's up, man. Let everybody know. I do appreciate it again. Sitting down with Who Got Next. Let everybody know where they could find you, your locations, or you know whatever information you would like to give to the people.
Right. Velocity Denim is both the tags are on Instagram and Twitter at Velocity Style is regular Velocity Flagship. At Velocity Denim Boutique is Velocity Denim. Velocity Denim is next to Gap on the backside of Concord Mills. It's inside the mall across from Champs. Right next door to Gap. It's about five doors away from the food court. Velocity Boutique is located at the Shops at University Place. It's next to the lake.
Correct.
Behind the Hilton, which is off of W.T. Harris in North Tryon.
Okay. All right, man. This is E-Dub. I'm your host for Who Got Next. And if you want to reach out to me, you can hit me on my email. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And my Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. As I like to always tell you, if there's somebody out there, you out there making some moves happen, trust me, I am watching you. And if I'm watching you, you will be talking to me soon because I just love to hear people's stories and hear what everybody has going on. And I just think it makes for a good opportunity to sit down and speak with the good people of good old Charlotte, North Carolina. Until next time, I will be back. Peace.